The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Kisiso. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'mor. Hashem said to Moshe saying, Kisiso es reish b'nei Yisrael ifkudehem, when you count the heads of the children of Israel, v'nosnu ish kefer nafshel Hashem b'fkereson. Everyone should give a certain amount. Everyone should give something, which will be a kefer nafshe, which will be a kapora, an atonement for his nefesh, for his soul, to Hashem, b'fkereson, when you count them, v'lei yevahem negev b'fkereson, in order that there should not be a plague when you count them. In other words, you should not count them outright, but rather have everyone give something, and then you'll count that which is given. Zeinu, what should be given? This is what should be given. Kol ha'ever al ha'pikudim. All of those who are ready to be counted amongst the soldiers. Kol ha'ever al ha'pikudim. That was from 20 years upward. Once a person was 20 years old, then he was qualified for the draft. Machzis ha'shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh. He should give a half a shekel. A shekel was a certain amount of silver. It was a coin. And machzis ha'shekel is a half of the shekel, HaKodesh, the amount of the coin which was used for Kodesh, for holy purposes, Esrim Gera HaShekel, and how much silver should be in this shekel, Esrim Gera, 20 measures of Gera. This was a specific measure, Maxis HaShekel Trumal Hashem, and this should be an offering to Hashem. Kol Eiver HaPekudim Ben Esrim Shonav Amale Yitein Trumas LaHashem. Everyone from 20 years and upward should give this. The wealthy shall not give more. And the poor shall not give less. From a half a shekel. To give this offering to Hashem in order that it should atone for their lives. You should take all of this silver. And it should go for the workings of the Mishkan of the sanctuary. And this should be a remembrance before Hashem to be mechaper al nafshisechem, to atone for their lives. Rashi brings in the Rashi lechaper al nafshisechem lefi sheromaz lehem kan gimel trumes. Three times does it say here Truma Hashem, an uplifting to Hashem. It says it in Pasuk Yud Gimel Truma Hashem, and in Pasuk Yud Dalet Yitain Truma Hashem, and in Pasuk Tezvov is Truma Hashem. Why three times? To let us know that we're speaking actually here about three givings, not one but three. Achas Truma Adonim. One was where everyone gave a half a shekel of silver, and that went for the Adonim. From that they made the Adonim. The Adonim were the bases, feet, of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary. The sanctuary, the Guf HaMishkan, the actual body of the sanctuary, was made of wooden beams, cedarwood uprights. And what held them in position? They were anchored together with Adonim, and they were made of silver. So from one half of shekel, which everyone gave, this was melted down, and this was the silver that was used for the Adonim. V'hash nishenis af hi al yedei minyan shemonan mishu hukam ha-mishkon. A second amount, which was given also, a set amount for everyone, that everyone gave exactly a half, no one more, no one less. And this also was at a minyan at a time when they were counted. This took place later in Sefer, at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. This was in the first month of the second year in the desert. And this, these were given, this money was used to buy the korbanos hatzibur, the communal, national sacrifices. There were sacrifices that individuals brought, and there were sacrifices that were brought to the tzibur. For example, every day a tomid shel shachris and a tomid shel ben abayim. There was a morning sacrifice and an afternoon sacrifice, or the sacrifices that came on Shabbos and on Yantiv and so forth. So this everyone had to be a partner in. Where did these animals come from? They were brought from the money which everyone gave. And that was a second machasis, a shekel, a second half a shekel, which each one gave this exact amount. And everyone, therefore, was an equal partner. And this was b'chol shona v'shona. The first half of shekel was only when we first built the Mishkan. It was only needed then. The second half of shekel was an annual mitzvah. Every year was given. Because every year the korbanos sacrifices had to be bought. And on this one it states, lechaper al nafshei seichel, that this should come as a kapora, as an atonement, shahakorbanos lekapora hen boim, because the korbanos, the sacrifices came for atonement. Shlishis, in the third machzis ha-shekel, he trumas ha-mishkon, this is the trumas ha-mishkon, which was spoken about in the beginning of Parshas Truma, and this was used wherever it was needed in the building of the Mishkan. At the beginning of Parshas Truma, there was materials needed to build the Mishkan. Zov, Kesev, and Cheshev, gold and silver and copper and so forth. So this was collected then, and it was used wherever it was needed in the Mishkan. And this also was only at the time of the building of the Mishkan. And this had no set amount. But rather, what did it say there? It said, Kifi nidvas liboy. Ish mashenot v'liboy, in accordance to the generosity of each one's own heart. So this is why Trumas Hashem is stated three times here, because we are speaking of three Trumas. Also in Parshas Truma, the beginning of Parshas Truma, Rashi also says this. Here he elaborates more. But there he says it, because there again, it states Truma Gimel Pomim. It says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yichuli Truma. Bring for me an uplifting. Me'eis kol isha she'yivena libo yitichu es Trumosi. You shall take my Truma from everyone. V'zeis ha'Truma. This is the Truma. So to infer that we are speaking of Gimel Trumas. All right? So it comes out that there are three mitzvahs here we're dealing with. One is that everyone should give a machzis a shekel, exactly a half a shekel, not more or less. The wealthy the same, the poor the same. And this was given for the silver of the Adonim, of the bases, of the kroshim, of the upright beams which held the Mishkan together. And later on we learned that there was an exact amount that came from all of the half of Shkolim, was exactly what was needed for the Adonim, for the base of the Mishkan, which was made of silver. That was the first Truma. And that's what it says here, that it should be used for Avedis Oel Maid, for the work of the Oel Maid of the Mishkan. A second Truma, a second contribution that was imperative for each person, was another half of Shekel. Again, exactly the amount, not more and not less. And this was not given just one time, but this was given every year. And this was used for the korbanos hatzibur, for all of the sacrifices that came on behalf of the community each year. This is what it was used for. And on this it states, lechaper al nafshei seichem, it should be atonement for your nefesh, because the sacrifices came as an atonement. So this was the second machasis ha-shekel. And this, the Mishnah brings in Masech Tishkolim, that every year there was a mitzvah on this on Reish Chedesh Ador. Reish Chedesh Ador, mashmim al Tishkolim, that the Shluchei Bezdin, the agents of Bezdin, would go out into the country and tell people that they have to start getting their half of Shkolim ready to come and bring it, because it had to be given in the month of Ador. This was an annual mitzvah. And then there was a third truma, a third contribution which was given, a mitzvah. And this was for all of the silver or other materials that were needed in the building of the sanctuary. This again was just a one time when the Mishkan was built. And this had no kitzvah, it had no set amount. But asher not v'liboy, in accordance to the generosity of each one's own heart. These were the gimel trumais, the three trumais that the Torah speaks about. To go into this a little further, the morale in Parshas Truma explains for us what was the meaning and the purpose of these mitzvahs. The Gemara tells us that the Mishkan was a kapora for the Egel Azov. It was an atonement for the golden calf. This week's parsha, we learn about the golden calf. And the Mishkan was an atonement for it. Why is this? Because when Klal Yisrael went and they served idolatry, they chased the Shekhinah, Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence, out of Israel. It was such a severe avera that the Shekhinah went out. We see this later in the parsha, because it states it states later in the parsha near the end that Moshe took his tent and he moved it outside of the camp. After the Egel Azov, after the golden calf. It's in Posuk, in Lamed Gimel, Shmais Lamed Gimel, Posuk Zayin, Meshi Yikach, Eso Oel, V'notol, Le Michutz, Le Machanea, Harchik, Min HaMachanea, V'kodala, El Meid. Meshi took his tent, and he moved it outside of the camp, and it was called the place where Meshi stayed. V'koyakom, V'akish, Hashem, Yitzel, El Meid, Hashem, Michutz, Le Machanea. If anyone had to speak to Meshi, he had to go outside of the camp. Why did Meshi do this? So Rashi brings, because Moshe said, "I'm a nuda l'rav, nuda l'talmid." When a rav puts someone in chedim, if a rav excommunicates a person and he doesn't want him to come close to him, so this person is not only excommunicated to the rav, it's also excommunicated. He's also excommunicated to the talmid, to the disciple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had excommunicated all of Israel. He had enough of Israel. He moved out. So Moshe said, "If." The Rav, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, has moved out, then I also must move out. So he also moved out his tent. And the Rashi tells us, for how long did this stay like this? The people used to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to go and speak to Moshe, ponim al ponim, face to face in their tent. How long did this stay for? This stayed for until after the Hakomas HaMishkan, until the Mishkan was set up, which was the following year in Nisan. Once the Mishkan was set up, then Kodesh Baruch will tell Moshe, move back and go to the Mishkan. If you want to speak to me, you must go to the sanctuary. And Kodesh Baruch will move back. So what do we see? We see that through the Egel Azov, the golden calf, the Shekhinah departed from Israel. And through the sanctuary, the Shekhinah came back. So therefore the sanctuary was a sign of the Kapor, that Kodesh Baruch had forgiven Klal Israel. Actually, to go into this a little more, the whole reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu came into Klal Yisrael to begin with, the Chazal tell us, is because he gave his Torah to Klal Yisrael. When he gave the Torah to Moshe, so it states that Moshe ole la Hashem, vayirer Hashem al ahor, Moshe went up to Hashem, but Hashem came down to the mountain. And that was because of the Torah. The Torah came down to the people, so Hashem also came down. The Medrash tells us that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command that the Mishkan, the sanctuary, should be built? Because he said that now that you have my Torah, I cannot be without it. So therefore make a place for me, make a home for me, that I might live amongst you. V'shochanti b'seichon. Therefore he commanded the building of the Mishkan. So it was through the receiving of the Torah that brought the Shekhinah into Klal Yisrael. And brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence into the Mishkan. What happened at the Egel Azov, at the golden calf? Moshe broke the Luchos. He said that Klal Yisrael was not roi, was not fit for the Torah anymore. Kodesh Baruch Hu had given the Torah to Moshe and he broke them. He said that if by Korban Pesach, which is just one mitzvah, it states Kol Nechal Yechal Bay, that if someone serves idolatry, he's disqualified from that mitzvah. So now that they've all gone and they served Aveda Zora, so certainly they should be disqualified from the Torah. So Moshe broke the Luchas. So once there was no Torah in Klal Yisrael anymore, so the Shekhinah left. So in order to bring the Shekhinah back, there had to be the Kapora for the Golden Calf. And eventually Moshe was able to do this. But the sign of this was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned to the Mishkan. Then Klal Yisrael knew, the Chazal tell us it was Nishaper, it was a Kapora for the eagle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells amongst us. So therefore, the Mishkan was a kapora for the golden calf. Now the aveda of the golden calf, the chait, was committed in three ways. First of all, the people physically served aveda zara; they served it with their bodies. Secondly, they served it with their minds, because idolatry actually is an aveda of the mind. It's when a person has thoughts contrary to the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the master of the world. So therefore they served it with their minds. And thirdly, they served the calf with their wealth, with their money, with their silver. As it states, take off. Aaron told the people, the people went, and they took off all of their jewelry. And from this they made a golden calf. Later on, Moshe was to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was your fault. He said, you gave them so much wealth when they came out of Egypt, so this is what caused them to sin. So in three ways did they serve idolatry: through their bodies, through physically, through their minds mentally, their minds and spirit, and materially, through their wealth. Therefore a kapora, an atonement, was needed for all three. Therefore they had to bring Gimel Tumais for the Mishkan, three offerings for the Mishkan. Now first they brought a half a shekel to be mechaper, that should atone for their bodies, and they brought a half a shekel of silver that should atone for the aveda of their minds, of their nefesh. Why a half and half? Because a person is similar to a shekel sholem. A person is similar to a complete shekel. Now this shekel that we're speaking about was not just a coin. They didn't just take a coin that happened to be used in the marketplace. Because I'll tell us, Rashi brings it here, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ze yitnu, this is what you should give, so Rashi brings from the Medrash, Here lei kimin matbea shel esh, u'mishkola machsis ha-sheker, ve'eme lei keze yitnu. Ze yitnu means this is what you should give. Hashem told Moshe, this is what you should give. So the Medrash tells us that Moshe didn't quite understand what he should give. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a kimin matbea shel esh, a coin that was made out of fire, u'mishkola machsis ha-shekel, and its weight was that of a half a shekel, ve'eim elei, and he told him, kizeh, this is what you should give. What was Moshe having difficulty understanding? This principle, what does a coin have to do with this? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Moshe that we're dealing here with a very special piece of silver. It's a special piece of silver which is constructed to an exact dimension, which has spiritual reasons behind it, and the full shekel is similar to the person. And therefore it should weigh 20 gerus, regardless of what was used in the marketplace. This must weigh exactly 20 gerus. That was the full shekel. And each one must give 2 half of shekel. So why 2 half? Because a person is like 1 shekel. And here he gives 2 halves. 1 half was for the kapora on the goof, on the body of the person. And the other half was a kapora on the nefesh, on the soul of the person. Because they served idolatry both with their body and with their spirit. Now why do we say that the full shekel is similar to the individual? Because it was made up of 20 dimensions, 20 measures, esrim gera. And the Gemara brings that the human being also has in him 20 measures, 20 dimensions. The Gemara brings this in Masechet Nida, which we've quoted before, on Daf Lamed. Excuse me, Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says as follows. The rabbis taught that there are 3 partners in the creation of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'Avi ve'Imai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the father and the mother are the 3 partners in the creation of man. And then the Gemara lists off that each one totally contributes 20 contributions in the creation of man. The father and mother contribute a total of 10 contributions to the man, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes a total of 10. Oviv, father, Mazriya Levin, his seed is white, Shemimenu, that from here comes, and lists 5 contributions. Atzomes, the bone structure, Gidim, these are the tendons and the nerves, Tzofanayim, the nails, Mayach Shebereshe, the brain tissue, Velevin Shebe'ayin, and the white of the eye. 5 major contributions the father gives to the fetus. And these are all of a white substance. These are his contributions. That's the bone structure, the gidim, which is the nerves and the tendons, the tzofanayim, the nails, Mayach Shebereshe, the tissue of the brain, the levin shebaayin, and the white of the eye. Imai, the mother Mizaras, she had of them. Her seed is red, shemimenu, and from her comes the or. The or is the skin, bosar, that's the flesh, dam, the blood, sares, the hair, and the shocher shebaayin, the dark tissues of the eye. So she gives 5 contributions. They are all of a red substance, which is the skin and the flesh and the blood, the hair, and the shochesh be'ayin, the darkness of the eye. So they totally give 10. HaKadosh Baruch Hu neisin bay, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives 10. What does he give? He gives the ruach. The ruach is the wind, the air in the person. The neshama, the soul, the cluster upon him, the radiance of the face, riyas ha'ayin, the power to see. The mother and the father gave the tissues of the eye. But the Rashi explains the tissues of the eye does not give one the power to see. The proof of that is because when he dies, he still has the tissues of the eye, but no longer can he see. The power of sight is given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmias Eisen, the power of hearing. Same thing. Dibur Peh, power of speech. Hiluch Raglayim, the power of motivation, of moving. Chochma, Bina, Vehaskil, and the 3 levels of wisdom, which is Chochma, Bina, and Haskil. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives 10. What are they again? They're the Ruach. This is the air in the person. the Shoma, the soul, cluster upon him, radiance of the face, Riyas Ayin, the power of sight, Shmias Eisen, the power of hearing, Dibur Peh, speech, Hiluch Raglayim, power of movement, and then three dimensions of wisdom, the Chochma, the Bino, the Haskel. Kiven Shigiyas Mana Lipotabina Ailam. Now, what the mother and father give is physical. But Kodesh Baruch Hu gives is spiritual. So therefore the Gemara says, Kiven Shigiyas Mana Lipotabina Ailam. When it comes time for a person to leave this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Neitel Chelkei, he takes back what he gave. And the portion of the father and the mother he leaves in front of them. So he takes his back and he leaves the rest in front. Because the spirit, everything that's spiritual, returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the ten dimensions which Hashem gave are all spiritual. So they return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that's physical remains here. So the ten remaining dimensions, the tissues of the brain, the blood, the skin, the tissues of the eye and so forth, that remains here. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I take back mine and then I leave the rest for the mother and the father. Eventually it decays and it goes into the earth. The guf is shoveh ala, the ruach is shoveh ala Hashem, the spirit goes back to Hashem, and the physical goes back to the earth. And this is what it's meant, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Odom HaRishon, both Mina Ofor, from the earth, and from the Ruach Mimal, from his spirit. He blew into him. Omar of Papa, Rav Papa says, Hainu Damari Inchi, this is what people say, Putz Milcha V'Shodi Bisvi L'Kalbe. You have meat. Today we have refrigeration and freezers, so we keep meat fresh through cold storage. But what did they do in the old days? How did they keep meat? They used to salt it very heavily. Put a heavy amount of salt on it, and that way it could stay for long periods of time. You could cross deserts with it. So people would say, Putz milcha v'shodi bisvi l'kalbe. If you take the salt away from the meat, you can throw the meat to the dogs. In other words, it will immediately spoil, and you'll have to throw it out. Rav Papa says the same thing with the human being. The spirit, the soul which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, and these are 10 different dimensions in the soul, 10 different manifestations of the soul in the body. The soul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to the body, that's the same as soul to meat. As long as it's there, then the body will live and thrive. Separate it, take it back, then it's ready for the dogs. Just like meat, take the salt away, it's ready to be thrown out. So what do we see? Firstly, we see that the human being has 10 major factors in him. Excuse me, 20 major factors. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, use this shekel as a kapora, because a complete shekel is designed parallel to the human being. Esrim Geira, also with 20 measures in it. But don't give the full shekel. You must give a half a shekel and a half a shekel. Why? Half a shekel keneged the goof, which is parallel to the physical human being, because a half a shekel has 10 measures, and the physical human being has 10 measures. And then another half of shekel against the spiritual human being, which also has 10 measures. So these were the two machzis hashkolim. So one machzis hashekel came as a kapora to atone for the aveda zora, which they did physically. So that was parallel to the physical human being. What was done with that? Now it's very interesting what was done with this. This was used La Vedisael made for what was necessary in the Mishkan, and it was used for the Adonim. The silver basis, the silver shoes, the silver basis of the Mishkan. Why? Because the Mishkan is like the physical human being. Very important. Mishkan is like the physical human being. Why? Because the Mishkan was made from physical matter. It was made from gold and from silver and from copper and from wood and from skins and from wools. It was made of physical matter. Just like the human being is made from physical matter. What was the purpose of the Mishkan? To be makabel, the Heid HaShchina, to become a recipient for the Shechina, for the Spirit of Hashem, to carry the Spirit of Hashem. So as Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Vosu the Mishkan, Vishachanti Viseichom, make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell in it. So was the human being. Kodesh Baruch Hu, why did he make physical man? In order that he should be a home, a recipient, a basis for the Ruach Hashem, for the Spirit of Hashem. So therefore, the physical human being is comparable to the physical Mishkan. And what's the most important part of any physical building? Its foundation. If it's a strong foundation, it's a strong building. If it's a weak foundation, it's a weak building. The most important part of a physical building is its foundation. And therefore, the half of shekel that came for the physical human being was used for the physical foundation of the Mishkan. All of that silver was used for the silver adonim, the silver basis, the silver shoes of the Mishkan. From here we learn how careful a person must be with his body. Because the Chazal tell us the body was made perfect, exactly, in order to be mekabel the Heid Hashem, to receive the Shekhinah Hashem, just like the Mishkan. We've been learning parshas here of Truma, Tzavik, Kisiso, Mayakel, Pekude. But everything of the Mishkan is made exactly, with all types of reasons, and deep reasons, great wisdom as to why. Why was it necessary? It was only a physical edifice? No. It was a physical edifice that was going to become the chariot of the Spirit of Hashem, the Shekhin of Hashem. And therefore it had to be made with great wisdom and great secrets and perfect. Hakol b'mido u'b'mishko. Everything in perfect dimension. And how was the Mishkan taken care of? It was made beautifully, lustrous. Shechas al hayefi, the Chazal tell us, that it should be done with perfection and beauty. And it was kept beautiful, with all kind of halochos, and tohor, and pure and clean. The Chazal say the same thing with the human body. Because the Gemara Darshans in Masechta Makos, that why are there 613 mitzvahs in the Torah? Because there are 613 different dimensions in the human body. It brings Shasa, 365 negative commandments, which are against, which parallel to the 365 gidim, different tendons and nerves of the body. And Resh Mem Ches, 248 positive commandments, which are parallel to 248 different organs of the body. At any rate, what do we see? So we see that it's not just coincidental that the human body is made this way, but the human body was made in the exact proportions in order to receive the Spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah, just as the Mishkan. Therefore, a person must be, just as a person had to care for the Mishkan, he has to be very careful with his body, to keep it strong, to keep it healthy, and to keep it clean, and to keep it pure. If not, if there was anything wrong in the Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't go into it. So is it if there's anything wrong with the body that affects the Shekhinah Hashem. At any rate, one machzis hashekel was given for the guf adam, for the physical man, And therefore, half of shekel had 10 dimensions in it. And this was used for the basis of the physical Mishkan, the silver foundations of the Mishkan. Now another half of shekel was given. This was given to atone on the spirit of man, because he served the golden calf with his spirit also. And this, why a half of shekel? Because, as we mentioned in the Gemara, that the Gemara brings, there were 10 spiritual dimensions, 10 major spiritual parts that were given in man by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we listed off. So this was to be machaper, this was to atone for the spirit which served idolatry. What was done with this half of shekel? This half a shekel was used every year to buy the korbonos, to buy the sacrifices. And by the korbonos it states, lechaper al nafshi seichem. Sacrifices came as a kapora on the nefesh, on the spirit of the person. So this was his spiritual atonement each year. These were the two machzis hashkolim that they gave. Now there was a third truma. The third truma was used for the other needs of the Mishkan. And this was not a machzis shekel, not a half of shekel, but everyone gave kefi nidvas liboy in accordance to what he wanted to give, in accordance to the generosity of his heart. This, what was this the kapora for? This was the kapora because we said that they served the Egel Azov, the golden calf, with their wealth also. So they needed a kapora for their wealth, with their kesef, with their silver. So the third truma offering was as a kapora for their wealth. Now here the question is asked, why were the first two exactly, that everyone could give only a half of shekel, and we explained why, and no one could give more and no one could give less, but the third one was left up to the person's generosity. He wanted to give a little, he gave a little, he wanted to give a lot, he gave a lot. The answer to that is because when it comes to the person's body, or when it comes to his soul, there's no difference between the wealthy and the poor. You can be a very, very wealthy multimillionaire, and you still have only one body and one spirit. You can be a very, very, very poor person, and you still have the body and the spirit. What do we see from here? We see that wealth affects only money. It only affects material position, possessions. When we say, oh, he's very wealthy, doesn't mean that he has a better mind than the other person. Doesn't mean he has a better soul. It doesn't mean that he owns 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 bodies or 1,000,000 spirits. He's the same as everyone else in body and spirit. It means in material possessions he has more. So therefore, when it comes, and the same thing, the poor might be behind the wealthy in material possessions, but he's not behind the wealthy when it comes to an ownership on a body or an ownership on a spirit. So therefore, when it comes to bringing a kapora for a person's body, the wealthy should not give more and the poor should not give less. They're all equal. And when it comes to giving a offering for the spirit, also, each one gives exactly the same. If there are differences, it's certainly not because of wealth. When it comes, though, to give kapora, atonement, for what the people did with their wealth, that they worshipped the golden calf with their gold and silver, right? There they must give proportionately. Those who have more wealth had to give a bigger kapora. Those who were less wealthier gave a smaller kapora. So there was a distinction. So no longer was it a half a shekel, but it was kfi nidvos libay masha not v'libam, according to the generosity of their hearts, they gave. And the third, that third truma was used for the other needs of the Mishkan, and that was the kapor on the wealth. Now there's another question. The Maral asks, if it was for a kapora on their wealth, so then it should have been in accordance to their wealth, not in accordance to the nidvas liboy, to the generosity of their heart. It should have stated that the wealthier must give more and the poor must give less. But that wasn't the mitzvah. The mitzvah was, it states in Parshas Truma, it states, kefi asher yidvena liboy, tiches trumosi, in accordance to the generosity and inspiration of one's heart, that's what one should give. If it's a kapora for his wealth, so it should say kfi mamainim, according to his wealth. So this is a very, very important principle for us to learn. We in the Western culture, well, probably in most cultures it was this way, but especially in the Western culture, which is the offspring of Rome, which was the great materialistic culture, we measure wealth by counting wealth. This one is wealthy because he has 1,000, and this one is wealthier because he has 10,000, and this one's wealthier because he has 1,000,000, and this one has 50,000,000, and so forth and so on. The Torah doesn't measure wealth that way. The Torah measures wealth in a more scientific manner. Osher. Wealth means someone who has more. He has a multitude. He has more than he needs. That's what wealth means. Poor, poverty. Poverty means when someone doesn't have enough. This is the definition of wealth and poverty. For example, the Torah calls a poor man an evyon. Oni ve'evyon. Parshas Re'eh. It states oni ve'evyon. Then Rashi says, what is the word evyon? So he says it comes from the word to'ev. To'ev. Tof aleph beis. To'ev is from the word lete'oven. Desire. Appetite. Ani to'ev. A poor man was called an evyon because he has a need for more that he cannot get. Someone who's satisfied, someone who's full, see, that's not an evyon. Because he has no great need for more, yes. But an evyon is someone who has a need which he cannot fulfill. An osher, a wealthy person, is a person who has more than enough. When Yaakov met Esav, so Esav counted by numbers and Yaakov counted the other way. Esav said, what are you giving me all of these things for? Yeshli Rav, I have Rav. See, Rav means I have great numbers of everything. So why are you giving me more? You take it. Yaakov answered, Yeshli Kol, I have everything, I don't need anything else. Yaakov was measuring by what he needed or what he didn't need. And Esav was measuring by numbers. If that's the case, then you could have a person who has 50 million. And he could be an Evyon. He's Toev. He needs more. If that's the case, then he's an Evyon. He's a poor man. You can have a person who has a little. He doesn't need any more. He has plenty. He doesn't want any more. Then he has more than enough. If he has more than enough, then he's an Osher. Now, what is the sign if a person has more than enough or he doesn't have enough? What is the sign of that? The sign of that is how much he gives of his own to others. Why? Because if you take a vessel, you fill it up halfway, then it'll never overflow into another vessel. If it's full and overflowing, then it starts to overflow to others. When you take an entity that is short, is in need, so it can never give to others, whether it's a plant or an animal or a human being or whatever it might be. When you take an entity, though, that has more than a need, it's constantly given to others. So, Western culture counts wealth by numbers. The true definition of wealth is if a person has more than he needs, or if he doesn't have enough than he needs. The one who doesn't have enough constantly is trying to feed himself more. The one who has too much is constantly trying to get rid of things. He wants to give away. So therefore, the Torah's definition in wealth is nidvas liboy, and accordance is generosity. A generous person that constantly giving away, it's a sign he has too much. If he needed, he wouldn't be giving away. He has too much. If he's too much, he's a wealthy man. A person who's not nidvas liboy, a person who does not have a lev, is not a nodif, is not a lev tov, is not an ayin tov. Ein sort and lev tzar, where he's constantly short. That's a poor man. He's toiv. He has an appetite and a need for more all the time. So he's toiv. This is why it's not determined in numbers. You can have a person who has a little, and by him that's too much, and he constantly wants to give to others. You can have people like you see in a Western culture. A person has 1,000. He wants 2,000. He has 2,000. Yesh lemona rotz lemasayim. The Gemara says he has 100. He wants 200. He has 1,000. He wants 2,000. He has 1,000,000. He wants 2,000,000. If he has 100,000, he buys himself a big car. What does he do when he has 200,000? He buys a bigger car. What does he do when he has more? He buys more cars. No matter what he has, it's never enough. That's a poor man. That's a poor man because he's an avian. He constantly needs more. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. And this is the Torah way of defining wealth. It's a different accounting system. This is the pshat in the Mishnah that says, Ezahu Osher, who is the wealthy man? Hasameach b'chelkei, someone who's very happy with his lot. Because if he's very happy with his lot, then this was what Yaakov said, Yeshli kol, I have everything I don't need anymore. You give him more, he gives it away. So that's a wealthy man, he doesn't need anymore. A person who yeshli rav, I have tremendous wealth, but I still need more wealth, that's an evyon. That's an oni ve'evyon, that's a poor man, that he constantly needs more. So therefore, when it came to giving a kapora for a person's wealth, so the Torah judged it by true wealth and true poverty. Therefore it said, Ashe yidvena libre, you give in accordance to your generosity. These were the three trumais which Klal Yisrael was commanded to give. Two were given at the time of the building of the Mishkan, and a third was given every year. And again, because one was, they worshipped the idolat, the Egel Azov, the golden calf, physically, spiritually, and materially. Therefore, they needed three trumas. And all of this came in the Mishkan because the golden calf, the Egel Azov, drove out the Shekhinah, the Mishkan was brought back to Shekhinah. So they needed three trumas. So one truma was a half of shekel because they physically worshipped the calf. Half a shekel and another half a shekel because they spiritually worship the calf, and a shekel sholem, this shekel, this special shekel which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought out from his throne and he showed Moshe Rabbeinu in a fire. This is correlates with the human being, the total human being, physically and spiritually, that has 20 dimensions in it, like we mentioned in the Gemara. So half is spiritual and half are physical. Therefore, half of shekel was for the physical human being, half of the shekel was for the spiritual human being. And the half that was physical was used for the physical base of the Mishkan, because the physical man is also a Mishkan, made out of physical material, in order to be makabel the Shekhinah, to receive the spirit of Hashem. And the other half of shekel, which had 10 measures in, that's the 10 of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first 10 was what the father and mother give to a person. That's
to be mechaper on the spiritual side of the person, and that was used for the korbonis lechaper al nafshei seichem, which the korbonis every year came to be sacrificed to atone on the person's spiritual nefesh. And then the third truma was not a dover kotzer, was in a kifi oshrei, in accordance to a person's wealth. Because the person, because they served the golden calf with their wealth, therefore they had to bring a kapora for their wealth. How do we determine the wealth of a person? Those who are wealthier brought more, those who are poorer brought less. Who's wealthier? He who has more than enough. That's the generous people. Who's poor? He who never has enough. That's the person who always hold back. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that they must bring kefi nidvas libay in accordance to their generosity. That was the third truma. Actually, this mitzvah of the shkolim does have a link to the Megillas Esther, which we just learned. In the Megillah, in Gimel, in Teregimel, Pasuk Tes, states, Haman decided that he wanted to kill all of the Jews. So he said, Im ha-melech tei v'kosev le'abdom, if on the king it's good, to the king it appears good, write a decree that they should be destroyed. V'aseres alofim kikar kesev eshkol al-yidei eisev baloch alovi al-ginzi ha-melech. And I will bring 10,000 kikar kesev. I will bring 10,000 kikar. Kikar is a much larger measure than a shekel. 10,000 kikars of silver I will give to the king. Bring to the treasury of the king. The king took his ring off from his finger. And he gave it to Haman. The king said to Haman, the money is given back to you. And I give you the nation to do whatever is good in your eyes. What did Haman want? Why was he bringing such a huge sum of money to Ahasuerus? Incidentally, the Gemara makes a cheshbon also how many half of shkolim it was. See, it comes into about 600,000 or 1,200,000. Actually, I think it was 600,000 shkolim, 1,200,000 half shkolim. But at any rate, what did Haman want? Haman wanted to do a deal. He wanted a sale. He wanted to buy the nation from Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was the king, the mighty king, the emperor of the entire world, 127 medinas. So the king owns everything. Haman wanted to buy the nation from Ahasuerus. Sell them to me. Then, if they're mine, I can do to them what I want. And I'll buy them from you for 10,000 aseres alofim kikar kesef, 10,000 kikars of silver, blocks of silver. Why did he offer Ahasuerus money? Because he knew Ahasuerus, he knew him well. Ahasuerus was a person who liked money. The Gemara brings in the beginning of Avodah Zarah that Ahasuerus was the Melech of Poras. He was the king of Poras of Persia, which was one of the Dalet Meluchas, one of the four empires to rule the world. The Gemara says on Poras and Persia, Donil, when he had his dream, V'oru chaya acharai t'ninyo dami ledev. When he saw the Persian Empire, he saw him as a bear. But Tony Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef explained, Eilu Pashoim, these are the Persians that are like bears. Why are they like bears? She'echlin v'sheisim k'dev. They eat and they drink like bears. If you notice, if you ever have had a bear is always eating. He has an appetite which can never be satisfied. He's always eating. He's always drinking. He has a thirst that can never be satisfied. Umusur bolin bosir kedev. The Persians eat like bears, they drink like bears, and their flesh, they're covered with thick, heavy, fat flesh like bears. See, a bear is very thick and heavy. ומגדלים שר כדי ונהרי, like bears. ואין להם מנוחה כדי. And then they have no rest. A bear is always walking around, never sits down in one place. So were the Persians. These were the signs of the Persians. If you look through the Megillah, you see that when they made a feast, a party, it was a party. It says, "Vayhi ketev b'yema shvi ketev leben melach b'yoyin." On the seventh day of the party, they were still drinking. Or he would make a party, a big feast, for hundreds of days. This was the Persians. And when Doniel had another dream and he saw this empire in silver. Silver, not in gold. Bovel he saw in gold. The Greek empire he saw in copper. The Roman empire he saw in iron. This he saw in silver. Why? Silver is the sign of a quest, constant quest of material wealth. Because gold is not used so much to spend. See, gold is used more for ornamental purposes or to store away. Silver is the common type of money that the world uses. And this was Ahasuerus and this was Persia. The bear always wants to be Belea. He wants to swallow up. When Daniel saw the dream, he heard them say, "Let us go and eat great amounts of meat." They always want to swallow up. They want more. They are never satisfied. And this is what we were speaking about. Therefore, Haman, who knew Ahasuerus, he knew that his key to his plan was money. If I'll offer the king a tremendous sum of money, he'll be unable to refuse it. And even though Ahasuerus needed no money, he was the wealthiest monarch perhaps in history, reigned over the entire world, the Gemara says. Okay? So what did he need money for? But this is the meter, this is the quality of the bear, this was the quality of Persia. Therefore he came and he offered them all this money. Ahasuerus couldn't take the money because he held that for such a powerful king and monarch as he is, what kind of impression would it make that he sold a nation to be killed? If he were determined, if he would decree that a nation should be killed because of some ideological reason, all right, so then it would make a good impression, perhaps. But to kill an entire nation for money, he says, how would that look in the archives of history? So therefore he couldn't accept the money. But notice it doesn't say that the money he will not accept. He said, "Akesev nosun loch." The money is returned to you. In other words, he took the money. He couldn't resist taking the money. But he says, "I cannot keep it. Akesev nosun loch, I return the money to you, and you do to the Jews as you wish." Then the Gemara in Megillah brings, and if you give him a base, safe on the base, the Gemara in Megillah brings, Omer Shlokish. Shlokish says, "Golu v'yodua lifnei misho omer v'hoya ilo." It was known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "She'osid Haman lishkol shkolim al Yisrael." That Haman would be paying shkolim for Yisrael. He would come with silver coins and giving it to Ahasuerus, trying to buy Yisrael. "Lefichach higdim shiklehen lishkolov." Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it a mitzvah that Klal Yisrael should give shkolim first, in order to prevent the shkolim of Haman from working. Behind this man, and that's what it states in the Mishnah, that on the first day of Adar is a mitzvah for everyone, mashmim al shkolim, the Beis Din sends out shluchim, agents, to let everyone know that they must give shkolim, or the mitzvah to give shkolim before Purim. So the Gemara is saying this, Haman tried to buy Klal Yisrael in order to destroy them. He almost succeeded. But which prevented his sale was the fact that Klal Yisrael gave shkolim before his shkolim. What does this mean? As a posuk in Tehillim, in Kufkov Dalet Beis, Lule Hashem Shohoyo Lonu Bekum Aleinu Odom. If not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Bekum Aleinu Odom, when a man stood up against us. The Gemara tells us, this Kapitel Tehillim David HaMelech wrote in regards to Haman. Bekum Aleinu Haman, Bekum Aleinu Odom, when Haman stood up against us. We were under the sovereignty of Ahasuerus. Haman tried to take us from there and place us under his own tyranny, and then he would be able to fulfill his plan. So that was Kum Aleinu Odom, when a man stood up against us. It doesn't say a king. It was Haman stood up against us. He plotted with Ahasuerus, but it was Haman. Lule Hashem Shohayalonu. And if not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would have fell into the hands of this man. Haman tried to buy us from Ahasuerus. And with shkolim, with money. Had he succeeded, then his designs would have been fulfilled. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow him to succeed. The sale was not a sale. Why? Because of our shkolim. When we brought shkolim by the Mishkan, it was for a kapora on the golden calf. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us back. He came back, he dwelled amongst us, and he took us back. That means we belong to Hashem. When Torah was given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have given you my only daughter. I cannot be without my daughter. Therefore, I must also come and live with you. So there was the closeness of the one, of the oneness of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the golden calf, though, there was a separation. Moshe went out of the camp, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went out of the camp. But through the Mishkan, they came back together. So through the mitzvahs of the Shkolim, which helped to build the Mishkan and bring the sacrifices every year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reunited with Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael was reunited with Hashem. Therefore, Haman could not buy Klal Yisrael, because Ahasuerus didn't own Klal Yisrael to sell them. They were owned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki li avodim Yisrael. They are my servants. And therefore, Haman was not able to buy them. He was not able to destroy them. And that's what Dovra Melech said, Ki lule Hashem bekum aleinu odom, if not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when this man stood up against us. So what reunited us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to prevent the sale of Haman was our shkolim. That we bring our shkolim, we brought it then and we bring it every year in order to reunite the bond between us and Hashem. So this is what Reish Lakish said, Golev yadua lifnei misha eimer v'hoya elam. That it was known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Haman would come with shkolim. Therefore, he gave the mitzvah of shkolim to Klal Yisrael first. Therefore, the annual mitzvah of shkolim will take place every year on Reish Chodesh Adar, in order that the mitzvah, our mitzvah of shkolim, each year would precede the shkolim of Haman, because it was through this that we destroyed his plan. This gives us some insights into this mitzvah of shkolim, the maxis hashekel, and the gimel trumais demarukan, the three trumais that are said here.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.